I asked my friends Julie and Paul to come and pray for me before I share what God has told me this week.
God, the Salveson family 4 years ago were called and planted in this church. And Lord, the Salveson family has been anointed for ministry at Living Christ Church. You have blessed it. Your spirit has been flowing through them. And so, Lord, we just ask you to continue the good work you've been doing. You have anointed Pastor Jeff for the message today. Let your light shine through him. In Jesus' name.
And Father, we just ask that your words would come forth from his lips, that he would be your mouthpiece this morning, and that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and lives, and that your message would not fall on deaf ears, but that it would take root in our lives, and that we would carry with us for the rest of this week, the month and year ahead, and that you would transform us today according to your gospel message and your good purpose. Please be with him, and may only your words come from his mouth. Mm. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. How many of you like to share things? Apparently not many of you, all right? I was not aware of this. I think we certainly, we like to share things on social media. When you're flipping through social media and you come to that one link or that one story, you're like, oh, I've got to share this. I got to pass this on. Somebody sings amazing or some kind of heartfelt story. I have two friends, and every time they find a story that makes them cry, they tag me in it. They're just, oh, we're going to make Jeff cry today. Here. And we like to share things, right? We like to share things. And we like to share exciting things. And right now we're entering into the pumpkin season. I don't know if you're aware of this, but pumpkins are taking over. They are in everything. We add something, they're going to be in burgers soon. It's that kind of season. So you start seeing all across social media, the pumpkin spice latte is here. Pass it on. Some of you are really excited and want one right now. I'm not the pumpkin spice guy. I like pumpkin stuff, like put it in cheesecake, we're high-fiving, but not in my coffee. I look forward to the peppermint mocha season at Christmas time, all right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, that happy goodness that just takes coffee to the next level. And we get excited about things, and we want to share them. Well, this morning, I want to talk about something that I think needs to be shared. I think it needs to be shared over and over and over and over again. Those are good stories to be shared, and those are good things to share. But the greatest thing ever to share is what Jesus has done for us. And so this morning, I want to look at this concept of sharing faith. And so you know, this is for today and tomorrow and the next day and every day this year. I believe that God is calling us to this point. And so we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1 this morning, Romans chapter 1. And if you have a Bible with you, Romans chapter 1. If you don't, there should be one in front of you. And it's page 1090 on most of those Bibles in front of you. 1090 on most of those Bibles in front of you. And so get to Romans chapter 1 and just kind of put your finger there. And I'm going to be talking about three things out of this passage from verses 1 to 17. Three things that I see in this passage from Romans 1 about sharing faith. The first of which is good news. There is good news in this story. It's not bad news, it's good news. It's not just good news, it's great news. And so we're going to talk about that. The faith reports that spread throughout all of Rome are discussed in here. And there's this mutual encouragement that takes place from those faith stories. But I think we need a little context before we start reading through this. So I wanted to give you just a little context of what's going on before we start reading this passage so you understand kind of the overview of what's taking place. So the first of which is Paul, who is the speaker, is a former Pharisee, a persecutor of Christians. Right? So previous to him coming to a knowledge of Jesus being his Savior, his mission was to find Christians and not just persecute them, but kill them or have them killed. Right? So he was not a nice guy until he met Jesus. He spent the last 20 years up until this point, the writing of this book, sharing his faith story to every single person that he could come in contact with and asking them to do the same. There is no written record of any of the disciples, those who spent day to day with Jesus before his death, no written record of any of them making their way to Rome. So the story of Jesus dying and rising from the dead happened through word of mouth and made it to Rome, and that church was established just by word of mouth. None of the people that had personal contact with Jesus that we know of were the ones that started the church there. And Rome is the epicenter of the entire Roman world at the time, right? So the Roman world, Rome is the epicenter. And this kind of gives you, I know that's really hard to see. Some of you have 1717 vision and you can make it out. But the dark orange here is the Roman world, the kind of known world at the time. And it was safety. You could walk throughout the Roman world knowing that you were protected. And Christianity started over on the right side in Israel and had made it all the way to Rome at this point. And his desire is to get there and tell them about Jesus. And so Paul is the main speaker of this passage of Scripture. And so the content is heavy on him. Like, I am this, I'm that, I'm thankful, da, da, da. And we could just kind of read through this passage of Scripture and say, well, you know, thanks, Paul. Tell me something else about yourself. Or we could dig a little deeper and see that there is something there for us as well. Not just the reader, but for us as well. Okay? So with all of that in mind, let's look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 7 for this first section here. And this is what it says. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was the descendant of David, and through whom through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And I just want to stay here for a minute and look at a couple things that are in that first little section, and the first of which is this. The gospel that is mentioned here literally is translated glad tidings, and it means good news. The story of Jesus is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. And I know that's hard, and we'll get to that in a second. There's some tension in that, especially when we use the word Christian, and we'll get to that in a second. But it was good news. This was good news that was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus came. From the foundation of all that God had created, when it was good, and then man separated themselves from God through sin. From that moment on, from that separation, prophecy and prophecy and prophecy told us that there would be a person who would come to take away that separation from God, to restore us back to a relationship with the God who created us. And his name was Jesus. By his human origin, he was a descendant of David, but by his eternal existence, he was the Son of God. He was both God and man. The resurrection from the dead confirmed that he was who he said he was and gave us the ability to call him Lord. Not just Lord, but our Lord. The one that we look to, the one that we search after, the one that we serve, as Mercy so eloquently put for us this morning. And through that relationship with him, we now have grace that covers all of our ugliness, all of our sin. Everything that internally would have separated us from God is now restored in the person and work of this man, God, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but as creator, he loves us. He loves us. And not only that, he has now declared that those who have come to a relationship with him are now saints. And I know there's a little bit of tension in here when we talk about this, and it doesn't always seem like good news, because when we start talking about those who follow Jesus, and we use the word Christian, the definition and association gets a little skewed. And I don't want to gloss over that, that there's some tension when we use the word Christian. The word Christian was a political term at the time, not used by those that called themselves Christians. It was used by external people who saw these people who talked about Jesus and said, well, those people talk about Jesus, so therefore they are Christians. And they talked about the things that Jesus had told them, which was to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, and go and tell everybody about that amazing love. That's the definition. And somewhere along the line, circumstances and how humans interact with one another, that definition gets a little skewed. And it gets skewed by a number of different things. It gets skewed by war and the engagement of war. It gets skewed politically. This last political season, can I just be honest with you? It was ugly. You had Christians taking side who call on the same God, who were speaking hateful things to one another. That has no association with the God who died for us at all. And so if I'm somebody who does not call themselves a Christian, and I see a Christian acting like that, man, I'm not going to want anything to do with that. I'm not. But that's not at all what God didn't call us to choose a political side. He called us to save us. He called us to redeem us. He called us because he loved us. It can be skewed because of painful circumstances, how people treat us. It goes way beyond that political thing. You could have an interaction with somebody who called themselves a Christian, and I hear it over and over and over again. You know what? There's somebody that works with me, and they say they're a Christ follower, and they are the nastiest person at work. Wow, okay. You've met this person. You've met this person. Ah, man, can I just tell you? That breaks my heart. And you know what breaks my heart even more? I have been that person. I've been that person. I've been that person that, for whatever reason, in my misguided understanding, right, in my desire for someone to know something that was truth, I misrepresented the God that I serve. And that causes tension. It causes some tension when we talk about good news. It kind of ceases to be kind of good news. Extremists. We've got people that call themselves believers that stand on street corners with signs that says, God hates you. I don't know if there's a bigger lie that has ever been spoken in all humanity. If God hated us, he wouldn't send his son to deal with all the junk that we brought into this world to die for us. That makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know what kind of scripture is being read there, but it's not the one that's sitting in front of me. And you know what? In their misguidedness, they could have a relationship with Christ. And so this tension kind of oftentimes kind of pervades us, and then we don't want to share the good news anymore because we don't want to be associated with those people, right? The conversation, oh man, I met a Christian today, oof, and you're sitting there going, oh, okay, I'm not gonna, Jesus loves you, wants to give you a big old fat hug, like what, no, it's, right, and so we stop, and then we don't do anything. I don't think there's maybe a harder place to represent Jesus than in high school. Some of you are here this morning, right? And when, you know, things get discussed, you don't want to stand out. You don't want the target on your back. And in high school, not only was I a Christian, but I was a pastor's kid. And so there were certain assumptions about who I was and what I was. And so, like, I really wanted people to know the good news that I had found, because I believe it's good news. And I'd sit there in school, and I'd look at my friends and see the pain and the suffering that they're going through, and I wanted to go, man, there's hope. But I was just afraid to even say it, because I had those people that I went to school with that called themselves Christians, and they were the meanest kids I knew. And I don't even remember having this conversation, but this one day a girl asked me, you know, why are you different? Why are you nice to me when other people aren't? And I said, man, because I believe in a God who is nice to me, and he's asked me to be nice to others. I had no idea, but that night that girl was going to kill herself. And about 7 years ago, she found me on Facebook, and she goes, Jeff, you may not even remember me. You may not even remember this conversation. You probably think you didn't tell anybody about Jesus. And I was like, "How? Who are you? How do you know what's in my soul?" And she said, but we had this conversation, and maybe you don't remember it, but that night I was going to kill myself. And you told me there was hope. And I went home, and I prayed to a God I didn't even know, and I prayed for hope. I graduated that year, and I went to school, and I looked for other people that were talking about Jesus. I found them, and they told me about Jesus, and I'm a Christian now. In my ignorance and in my fear, all I had to say was, there's hope. There's hope. And God wants to take every single one of those little nuggets, we'll call them faith stories, and multiply them. And when we let the tension of misrepresented God get in the way of sharing hope, then we stunt what God wants to do. And Paul is starting this letter. Before we go any further, I want to talk about the good news that you've already heard. I want to have a faith conversation with you, church, in Rome. Let's have a faith conversation about the same God that we serve. And that's what I see. And I want to leave us with this definition, because I think it speaks to the root of it. The center of Christianity is not a teaching or a moral code. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is not about goodness and about not doing bad things. It's not about words necessarily that are written on the page. It's about the person and work of the man God, Jesus. That is the definition of Christianity. And we keep going. In verses 8 to 10, I see this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son. He is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers all the time, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. And I want to focus on this section here in the middle, that your faith is being reported all over the world. All over the whole world, their faith is being reported. Not just there in Rome, the entire world. And because of that, Paul is thankful and constantly in prayer. What? There's some Christians in Rome who are talking about Jesus, and none of the leaders of the church at that time have been there? Man, I'm going to pray for them. Keep going. Do it. Get it done. Tell people. Spread it. Share it. And he had this desire to be with them. He just wanted to be with them. Why? Because their story had been spread all over the world. He wanted to come and be with them in the epicenter of the entire Roman world at the time. In that whole area, their story is being told. In that whole area. I back in May, a couple of us from the church got an opportunity to go to our national convention that we call Council that happens every other year. And every single morning session was story after story after story from the entire world of the good news that was being shared around the world. And every single morning, someone got up and shared a faith story with us of what God was doing in the area which they worked in. And the struggles of sharing the gospel, sharing the good news every single day. And after the first day of hearing what God is, I started bringing Kleenex because I knew every single morning I'm going to cry because there's some amazing stuff happening around the world. And I was so thankful to be a part of something larger than myself of the work that God is doing around the world. And it was good news. Good news was being reported. Not, oh, it was really great. I punched my coworker today and then I said, hey, Jesus loves you. It's better to give than to receive. No. No. No, a story after story after story of people sacrificing their lives for someone else for the sake of Jesus so that they would know that this truly is good news. And it's the greatest news that the world could ever hear. And we keep going. In verse 11, it says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul longs to see them so that he can strengthen them spiritually, and this is what he means. He means that he has spiritual insight for those believers that will help them, but more importantly, as they discuss their faith stories with one another, something great takes place. You become mutually encouraged. Paul is already being encouraged because their story is being spread all over the world. He's already heard it. He wants to go there and see it firsthand. He wants to sit in the places and see the places that that good news was talked about. Take me there. I want to join you together. And together, they're getting excited. Together, they're mutually encouraged. Right? Paul is a great... He's like the person that everybody wants to see, but he's excited to get there and see them because their story is spreading all over the world. And he's excited about it. He's, for whatever reason, been prevented from getting there, but he longs for this harvest that people will come to Christ because of their mutual working together. That mutually, that he would get to see some of the things that were taking place, and then others would come to Christ as they work this out together. And he gives them some encouragement before he comes. Listen, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of this good news. Right? Sometimes I'm ashamed, to be honest. Sometimes I'm ashamed of those who call themselves Christ followers and don't live like Christ or respond like Christ. But I cannot allow that to stand in the way of me representing Christ and looking at my life and saying, what needs to get rid of so that others can know the good news? And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I want to tell them this story. I want you to do it. I want us to do it together. And this salvation is for everyone, not just for them in Rome, not just for us here, but for everyone walking that street fair this morning. Everyone the good news is for. Not just those that currently call themselves believers. It is for even those who don't yet call themselves believers. Because there are believers and not yet believers. And that's not an us versus them. That's a, God, I have been given this amazing hope and others need to have that hope too. So let's share that hope with as many people as possible. Let's let them know the hope that's out there for them. man, this life is terrible. But there is good news. In the midst of the chaos and storm, there is a God who wants to sit and ride that storm with you and care about you. And he's going to clothe you with rightness. He has made you right before God. And all this happens through faith in the word that I just read to you. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want to invite up here my friend Janet, who used to be nervous about sharing good news, and you need to hear her amazing faith stories.
I was not born in Seattle, but shortly after I was born, I moved to the Seattle area. And I lived in the Seattle area as a child and up into my middle-aged adult. And I don't know if you've ever visited Seattle, but it's different than here. Like a lot of the neighborhoods, people, they're really friendly. You go to the grocery store and you ask for help with something like, where is this? And you just feel like that person, they've been waiting for you all day. Oh, my day is made. This person finally came and asked me for help. You know, and they just put everything down with a smile and, oh, let me show you right where that is. You know, and so it was a real culture shock to me when we moved to New Jersey and then later here to Nyack. I remember coming home in those first months, and I actually said to Len one time, like, do they especially take people into some kind of training to be rude? Like, these clerks and cashiers, they are so rude. And I just, like, I dreaded going shopping. After I lived here for a while, like a few years, I started seeing things from a little different side. Like, oh, you know, it's not just the clerks who are rude. Sometimes the shoppers are kind of rude, and they're demanding and mean. And I thought, you know, well, if I were a clerk or cashier or somebody, I might be rude sometimes too. And so I had a little more grace towards the cashiers as I kind of sat and realized, yeah, well, all these people here, they're kind of rude. Is anybody hearing a theme here this morning about other people who are part of the problem? Well, I have to admit, it took me several years to ask that question. Well, wait a minute, how am I contributing to this? To this feeling that everybody's rude out there and that I just really don't like this. Well, I didn't want to answer that question. But when I did stop to think about it, I thought, well, you know what? I'm not rude particularly. I'm not demanding. I'm not like that. I've got too much Seattle blood in me to be like that. But I'm not kind either. I'm not gracious either. I don't make any attempt to communicate with people. I just expect somebody else to start the communication. So I had to think about that for a while. And about the same time, one of Len's colleagues from the UK came and stayed with us, and her husband had come along too. And he is the head chaplain of this large children's hospital. They have like 12 chaplains. And he was all excited. He was showing us these little, they were kind of postcard-sized cards that he made that he handed out to patients and to staff. And they just had blessings on them lots of times, or maybe something that was kind of thought-provoking or comforting in some way. And I started looking at those cards, and I started thinking, I can do that. I can make a card and hand it out. So some of you have heard that before. Some of you probably have even gotten cards. He made postcard-sized things, but I make little wallet-sized things. One says thank you, and one has an upside-down blessing on it. Anyways, I started thinking, you know, I can do that. I know it's probably hard for most of you to believe, but I'm actually a kind of shy person if I'm not, like, in my home setting. And to think about, like, talking to people in a store like that was pretty scary. But, you know, I thought, I can hand a card out. So I started doing that. I took a first step. I just handed a card. This one says thank you. You don't even have to say anything with it, but you can just give it and say, oh, thank you, your smile meant a lot to me, or something. And that's what I began to realize, is that I could say one thing, like just one thing. I got in a conversation with a cousin recently and about talking to people at stores, and he said he couldn't do it. And I said, but just one thing, one word, one sentence, one fresh phrase, one question. How are you today? Could you do that? And he said, yeah, he thought he could do that. I said, well, just start there. Just start with what you can do. So this morning, I want to tell you the story of one word that Shirley Hulbert and I spoke. She doesn't know I'm going to say this, but I think she's not surprised. One word that we spoke for months, and then it developed to a few sentences. So we walk in the mall. We walk in the mall twice a week. And always at the same day, same time frame, kind of. And there's other people who do that, too. And so you start recognizing some faces, or you start recognizing faces of some of the kiosk people and people like that. But there's one woman that we would frequently pass. And so after a few weeks of passing her, we began saying one word. Hi. That's it. That's all we said was hi. We said hi to her for weeks and weeks. Nothing more than hi. And then there was the day when we thought, you know, we've gotten pretty good at that. We're pretty comfortable with that. I bet we could stop and tell her our names. Because by now, we're looking forward to seeing her. She makes neither of us like exercising. So she just seeing her kind of made our exercising more fun. So one day we stopped and we told her who we were. These are our names. And she told us her names. And now we got to say hi to our friend, because she had a name now. So she became, you know, she kind of moved into this friend category. And, you know, as time went by and I started thinking about, this is a friend, and I look forward to the days that we bump into her, because she's not always there, but, you know, somebody had a grandchild, and, oh, we had to share that, and show some pictures, stop for just a few minutes, and then, oh, this happened or that happened, and we just had to stop and talk about those things. This week, we were just leaving, we parked by a particular store, and in came our friend. And so we hadn't seen her for quite a few weeks now. And so we're like, oh, how are you? What's going on? You know? And then we found out that a lot of problems had been going on. And she was really stressed out about things. And we just stood there in the store with her, and she's like, oh, you know, I'm a wreck, I'm gonna fall apart. And we're like, it's okay. We're just want to be here for you. And you know what we did? We spoke a word of hope into her life. And I just said to her, wow, you know, this is going to be a long day for you, and would it be okay if we exchanged phone numbers so I could send you a text in the afternoon that just says, somebody's thinking of you? And she's like, yes, that'd be great. And she shared me, gave me her phone number. And, you know, before she left, she looked at us and she said, I just want you to know I never park at this entrance. And yet this morning, I just felt this was the place I was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I think this was meant to be. Mm-hmm. And it all started with one word. Hi. I don't think there's a person here who can't start with one word here of hi, or one question, how's your day going? And sometimes things take a long time. I texted Shirley this morning and asked, so how long have we have we been saying hi to her? And it's over a year. I don't know where God is going. I really care about this person. Like, she's my friend. She's one of my mall friends. We actually have several mall friends, which is kind of funny. And I don't know what God's doing, but he does give us opportunities to speak and give those words of hope. And we just have to do what we can do. So if you're at the saying hi stage, just say it. If you're at the wow, you can say hi and show your name, or you can say, how's your day? And then ask them, well, what's the best part? Do that. Take the next step when you're ready for it. But take steps, because sharing our hope is just too much fun to miss out on.
That's good. The worship team's going to come up, and I'm going to have the people, they're going to help us serve communion. We're going to pass the plates this morning. Generally, we have you come up here, but we're going to pass those this morning. But with what I've been talking about this morning and with what Janet has said to you, this is the response that we're going to press into this year. Starting today, September 10th, 2017, through September 9th, 2018, this is my challenge to us, that we have 1,000 conversations of faith, 1,000 conversations of faith. And I know that sounds maybe to some of you like a lot. It's really not. If 100 of us sitting here this morning, there's well over that, had 10 conversations of faith over the course of the year, we'll accomplish this goal. I think we'll probably accomplish this in 6 months. But this is what I mean by a conversation of faith, just so you know. All right? I think there's several different ways that we can engage in this. I think the first is blessing or praying for someone, right? As Janet said, starting with high and getting to the point, hey, can I pray for you? Can I bless you? Can I give you some kind of hope that you need? That's a conversation of faith. A believer, somebody who calls themselves a Christian, who's sitting there this morning, who believes what was said about Jesus and has him in his heart, having a conversation of faith with somebody who would not consider themselves a believer, and having that conversation of faith. You're not convincing them to believe what you believe. Please hear me. That's the work of God. You're having a conversation of what God has done in your life. That's it. And here's the part for those of you who do that. I want you to press through this, right? If you're engaged in a relationship and having a relationship with somebody, then you continue the relationship whether or not they choose to believe what you believe or not. That's what we're called to. Whether they choose to or not. Too many times I've heard people share their faith stories with somebody and somebody doesn't believe what they believe, so they no longer become friends. That is so contrary to this book, it's not even funny. We must engage and continue to engage. Believers having conversations of faith. When Janet tells me the stories that she gets to engage in through her little cards, I get excited. I get encouraged at what God's doing in her life. An invitation to a Sunday morning or something else the church is going on, that's a faith conversation, right? I want you to come to a place so you can see the joy that we all feel, whether it's youth group or somebody's house where God is going to be talked about, whatever it is, an invitation. And then if you're sitting here this morning and you don't necessarily call yourself a believer or a follower of God, when you too can participate in this, when you have a faith questions, when you engage with somebody and ask them questions, somebody who calls themselves a believer, if you're asking them questions and you're engaging in a faith story, that's a faith story. I just heard one this week where a friend of a Christian said, do you think I'm a Christian? And it started the conversation. That's a faith story. And God gets glorified. If we would spend more time on that than pointing out what we don't like in our neighbor, man, this world would look more like what God wants it to look like. So can we take the next year and go after this? If you need a second to take a picture of that, you can. We're going to have a page up on the website on Tuesday where you can go and put in your faith story. It won't be published, but the fact that you had one will be published, and we'll keep track of this. Let me pray for us before we take communion. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would make this so. That we would share the hope that we have with those we meet. That we would start with something as simple as hi, because we believe there's hope in your story. Encourage us, empower us to share your hope with those that we come in contact with. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.